Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're cranking it up to 12. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request, pause for text line, 410-583-1057. Sounds like The Outfield. One of their two hit songs that we know. Nolan, big Outfield fan. Look at him. Mm-hmm. Dancing and singing. And you need to calm down over there. We're working today.
According to Bob, I'm a big fan of everything.
Yes, you are.
You're a big sun, fan. The birds, the moon, Mark Andrews.
Even as we're actually staring at you, it looks like you're a fan of nothing. You just get through his work day.
Hard to please.
Yeah, like everybody else. But the Ravens season's come to an end and here to put a bow on it as he sees it. From USA Today, it's the Ravens Wire, joins us on the Window Nation guest hotline, Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it was a tough way for season to end. It was a good year overall, some ups, some downs, and, 31 teams go home unhappy, and fortunately for the Ravens, they're one of them again this year.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's do it in real time going back 2 days ago or two nights ago. You're watching the game. And look, we all get that few-hour buffer to regain our composure and to start thinking rationally and looking at bigger picture stuff over the course of 60 minutes. But as you're watching this game, Kevin Allstriker, in real time, what were you thinking? What was going through your mind? And as the finality hit at the final gun, how are you feeling about what happened in Buffalo on Sunday night? Not talking about how you feel now, how you felt then.
It was more so even, obviously, there's so many emotions that you go through, but I feel like the one that I felt the most was shock about, we're here again. And it's not that the Ravens lost. The Bills are a good team, and it's the way they lost that I feel like, where we've had the same conversation over and over again, it feels like, where this Ravens team beat themselves. I mean, the Ravens outgained the Bills by almost 150 total yards. They outpassed them. They outrushed them. They went 7 of 10 on third down. They didn't punt in the game. And yet they still lost. And the big number that, kind of just stares you in the face on the stat sheet is the three turnovers. And in the playoffs, and we talked about it, you can't make those mistakes. You pay double for them in the playoffs. And, you gift the Bills opportunity after opportunity and take your own offense off the field and almost deprive yourself of those points and those opportunities yourself. It's like, where have we seen this before? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been kind of the MO and the story for the Ravens. And, there's no shame in losing to a team like the Bills at all. But it would have been different if this was just like a highly contested, both teams don't make mistake type games. But, the main difference here, Josh Allen threw for 127 yards. And the thing you look at is, again, the three turnovers to zero. To me, that's the biggest reason why the Ravens fell in this one.
Kevin, I thought in the first half, the two biggest plays, the Lamar fumble, which turned into a touchdown, and the PI call, which was total BS, that gave them, they were going to attempt a 48-yard field goal. So at best, you get four less points if he makes the field goal. I thought that in the first half. And then in the second half, I thought Mark Andrews killed him.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I think, what is it, the stat is Mark has 40 receiving yards per game in the playoffs and 8 drops, if I'm not mistaken. And, Mark had a bad day. And, I give Mark a lot of credit for turning it around in the middle of the season. Obviously, it was a rough start to the year for him as well. So it was a rough start and a rough end. But to me, I think what you have to look at is, there are opportunities throughout the game to, you know, every team's going to have plays that don't go their way or penalties that don't go their way. But it just felt like over and over again, it was even like little things. Like at the end of the game, Keaton Mitchell, you know, I think it was Steven Sims told him to stay in the end zone, and he took it out, and there was a holding penalty that cost him, you know, 20 yards on that return. Or, you know, like Derrick Henry had a drop. Mark Andrews had a drop early in the game. So it just felt like all these little mistakes piling up. And you're right, that pass interference was a terrible call, and it cost the Ravens points. And, you know, I always say don't put yourself in position to have the refs determine the game like that. And I give the Ravens credit for not abandoning their identity, you know, going down 21-10 and still pounding the rock. That was different from the AFC Championship game last season. But, you know, it just felt like they dug themselves a big hole again. The past two playoff games, the two losses, championship game and divisional round, the Ravens defense has given up 38 points in the first half and 6 in the second half. So it was just about starting faster on that side of the ball, and they didn't do it again this time.
Hey, Kevin, were you in the in the locker room yesterday? Kevin?
Hello?
Were you in the locker room yesterday?
I was not, no.
Okay. Now, you know what to start the game, what disappointed me a little bit was Buffalo kind of took it to the Ravens up front. I mean, they were the most physical team to start the game, I thought.
Yep. I agree, and it's kind of that slow start thing that I was talking about. Look, I give the Bills a lot of credit where, you know, we talked all week about how that defense, they were smaller up front, and the Ravens could out-physical them. And I, you know, I'll admit that I was wrong, where I thought the Bills did a really good job early mm-hmm. of stifling that Ravens run game. And, I, you know, as the game went on, I think it got, you know, it's kind of natural, right? Derrick Henry wears you down over the course of the game, and that Ravens run game wears you down. But early on, I think the Bills were committing hard to it. They were winning quick at the line, and that forced the Ravens, I think, out of what they wanted to do, because we saw against Pittsburgh, they went to that well over and over and over again when they figured out they could do it early. And they couldn't do it early against the Bills, and it was putting them in second and longs, second, you know, it's like second and 9, second and 8, second and 10, instead of second and 3, second and 2, second and 1. And that does change how you approach a drive. And so for the Ravens, who still did a good job on third down, 7 of 10 is not a bad number at all. It's very good. The Bills were able to come out with a physicality, and, you know, I'm sure that they heard that talk all week. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, what was being said about them, but Baltimore, it's just a matter of starting faster, and they started fast in the game in terms of they scored on the first possession. But in terms of the general first half, they kind of flamed out after that.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Kevin, like going over the whole season and stuff, there's one guy that, you know, really surprised me and to me got better as the season went along was Justice Hill. I mean, at that last game, I mean, he was running awesome. He looked faster. He looked more explosive, caught the ball well, made people miss, broke tackles. I thought Justice Hill was awesome in that game.
I agree. On the offensive side of the ball, he was kind of that unsung guy for me. And not only in this game, but as you talked about throughout the season, where that burst, that speed, that pat, like he has a lot of different tools that he can use. And it felt like every time he got the ball, it was either in a clutch situation where he was able to, like on third down, it just felt like he was picking up first, like one or two clutch first downs every single game to help keep Ravens drives alive. And, you know, he was a great, great change of pace guy for Derrick Henry. Those two guys worked really well together in tandem. And then, you know, just a mini side note, he was the unsung hero of the offense in that game. I think defensively, Tavius Robinson was the unsung guy in that game. Agreed. The best player on the field defensively, in my opinion, who just was disruptive against the run over and over. So sometimes it's not your stars. It's these unsung guys, you know, you might not be household names, but I got to give a shout-out to those two guys, yeah.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Ravens season comes to an end. Of course, tomorrow, Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh going to meet with the media. But, Kevin, the season does go on. Just because the Ravens lost doesn't mean that football stops. Buffalo at Kansas City, Philadelphia hosting Washington. Who advances? Who's going to New Orleans and celebrating this Super Bowl? And whose hearts will get broken on Sunday?
I think you got to go with the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl here. It'd be great if Buffalo could take them down. I think a lot of people are rooting for that. I just, you know, the Chiefs somehow always find a way, and until the Chiefs get stopped, I don't know if I can believe they can here, especially with some of the little help they got on Saturday. So I'm going Chiefs in the AFC, and then in the NFC, I'll pick the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is a dude, and I'm not sold on that Eagles offense outside of Saquon right now. Now, Saquon can do it by himself, but I'm going to say that the rookie gets it done and goes to the big game.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire. Kevin, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Always appreciate you guys having me. Thanks.
All right, Kevin Allstriker. Turn it up Tuesday, that is. We'll come back. Whip around left 15. You want to join us, can at 410-583-1057. Going to look at the Ravens free agent list. Pending unrestricted free agents. Who stays? Who goes? Keep it in mind, again, there is a salary cap.
Vinny and Hades with brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the Whip Around. Turn it up Tuesday. Bob Hades, Serato, Nolan McGraw. College football over. National championship decided. And as you heard on 105.7 The Fan, the Buckeyes get that first win in a long time.
Howard looking across the middle and has space, takes off, touchdown! Sneaking open was Quinshon Judkins! And Ohio State stretches the lead with a third long touchdown drive tonight.
Chris Fowler on the call, ESPN, Quinshon Judkins, three touchdowns, two rushing, one via the air. Will Howard outstanding, the Kansas State transfer. 17-21 for two TDs himself, and what turned out to be. Now, technically, Ohio State covered the spread.
Yep.
It was 8.5. And it looked like they were going to blow them off the field TCU style from a couple years ago against Georgia. But Notre Dame, to their credit, they fought back. And at the end of the day, we're talking now about Marcus Freeman, some of his coaching decisions. Trying to kick the field goal instead of going for it on fourth and long inside the 20. But, you know, they fought back. Ohio State, the better team. But it turned out, Vinny, to be a very entertaining game because that 21-7, 31-7, I'm like, yes. Let's get the old warm milk ready for tomorrow.
I totally agree with you, Bob. And the biggest, you know, question that Freeman had was the field goal attempt. You know, and you're down, and that would have cut it to 13. But the thing about, what was there, like 6 minutes left in the game? There, you probably have two possessions left. That's the thing. So you're better off going for it at that time because there's so few possessions that you got. You need touchdowns is what you need.
And you wound up getting nothing.
Correct.
When it was all said and done. But for Ryan Day, redemption here. The loss to Michigan. They lost to Oregon early in the season. Redeemed themselves in the playoffs in that one. But after that Michigan loss and, you know, losing to Michigan or vice versa, losing to Ohio State as the head coach of those two programs is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Look at John Cooper. Bye-bye.
Well, Earl Bruce never beat Ohio State. He was like a win 11 games every year but couldn't beat Michigan.
So it's unacceptable, but I guess a national championship, they're going to be one of the favorites again next year to do it. Calls off the dogs a little bit for sure.
But yeah, you're up 31-7. I'm sure like his talk to the team, Bob, was not calling off the dogs, but players, when you go in, you're up 31-7. Maybe they were feeling a little too good about themselves, you know, starting that second half. But Notre Dame came on in the fourth quarter, and Greathouse made some plays is what happened.
The wide receiver.
Yeah,
he made
some plays. I mean, because they didn't run. Love did nothing. You know, the running game did. Leonard carried it 17 times, 8 on the first drive.
Yeah, and landed on the ball, got himself all discombobulated, still came back and scored the touchdown.
Was throwing up.
After that. But it's the first 12-team playoff. It literally lasted a month. Started on a December 20th, ended January 20th. And we'll talk to Jerry Palm about this next hour. Is success failure, what needs to be tweaked, and all of the good stuff. I mean, because, you know, Penn State, by losing the championship game, they got benefited. An easier ride than Oregon did.
So, Bob, what were the Notre Dame was what? Were they the six?
Seven.
And Ohio State was...
Or the eight. Yeah, eight. Notre Dame was the seven. They were the seven. Ohio State was the eight.
Yeah. So, I think the biggest thing that needs to change, Bob, is you just need to seed them 1-12. You know, forget all that other stuff. You know, seed the best team, like basketball does. Yeah. That's what they need to do.
You don't need to win your conference championship to get the number one seed.
And teams, and now we're going to see, Bob, the only... They would get rid of conference championship games except for one thing.
The money?
Yes.
All revolves around money, does it? Yeah. That SEC championship game's definitely not going anywhere because they're tied with ESPN. So is the ACC, for that matter. It's Vinny at 80-1057, the Fan. Whip around some congratulations to Ohio State. Talk more about that with Jerry Palm. In about an hour, college hoops last night in the Big Ten men. Penn State beat Rutgers 80-72. Rutgers have been percolating there, and they take one on the chin against the Nittany Lions, as we talked about with Kevin Willard about an hour ago. Maryland 14-5, 4-4 in the league at Illinois, ranked number 17, Thursday night, then Sunday at noon at Indiana. If Maryland can win those two games, certainly helps their Ken Palm in their net rankings and maybe adds a couple of quad one wins to the equation. Maryland women. And the Coretta Scott King Classic up in Newark. They got blown out on national TV, as a matter of fact, by Texas. Terps banged up a little bit injury-wise, but 89-51. Seventh-ranked Longhorns beat the Terps there. And UCLA, they beat Baylor. UCLA ranked number one, 72-57 in that one. NBA yesterday, a lot of NBA games on MLK's birthday. Let's see. Detroit, having a really good year. Beat Houston, who's having a better year, 107-96. Cade Cunningham, 32 points, 9 boards, 7 assists for the Pistons. For the Rockets, Cam Whitmore, Baltimore zone, 10-6-2. It was Memphis, 108-106 over Minnesota. And that trade of Cats kind of screwed that chemistry up a little bit there with the T-Wolves. DiVincenzo's now hurt. He's going to be out for a while. Came over from the Knicks. But anyway, that's their problem. The Grizzlies win. Jaren Jackson Jr., 24-11 for the Grizz. Santi Aldama, Loyola, 2 points, 2 boards, and an assist. Cleveland blows out Phoenix, 118-92. Donovan Mitchell at 33. Damian Lee, Baltimore's own. Calvert Hall, 9 points, 2 boards, and an assist for the Suns. And it was Chicago Bulls who stink. They felt the Haney Schleprock big time 2 years ago. But anyway, that's their problem, not mine. 112-99 over the Clips. Zach LaVine at 35 could be getting traded here for the Bulls. Jalen Smith, Maryland, Mount St. Joe, Baltimore, 4.7 boards and an assist in that one. And as we talked about, Anthony Santander, 5 years, 92.5 with the Blue Jays. We'll talk, and there's incentives, there's an opt-out. We'll talk to Rich Dubroff about that. 1:30. Real quick, this day in sports history. About 90, it's January 21st, if you're looking at your calendar. 1978, Las Vegas. Ed Norris, you're listening. Roberto Duran, TKO, to Esteban de Jesus in the 12th to unify the WBA-WBC belts. De Jesus actually beat Duran at 72. His first career loss, avenged twice by knockout by Manos Dipiedros. Roberto Duran, one of the 10 best fighters of all time, inch for inch, pound for pound, and arguably the greatest lightweight champ that ever walked the face of this planet. Maryland basketball history in Atlanta, 1998. Terps beat Georgia Tech, 70-67. Sarunas Yesenkavicius got fouled, shooting a three with 1.1 seconds left. Made all three foul shots. Terps win. Roddy Elliott, Baltimore zone. He had 16 points in the win there. 2001, down in Raleigh. 12th-ranked Terps beat NC State, 75-61. Terrence Morris, 20-10. Lonnie Baxter at 18. And Super Bowl 13, 1979, that was 46 years ago. Steelers beat the Cowboys, 35-31. Terry Bradshaw won the most valuable player. NBC was on the call. Kirk Gowdy, Merlin Olsen, and John Brody.
Okay.
Dick Enberg hosted the pregame show. National anthem was the Colgate 13. I don't know if that's toothpaste or the band or I don't know, man. You know, it was halftime. Bob Janney did the carnival salute to the Caribbean. or Caribbean, whichever you prefer. Okay. 74 million people watch this. This game started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And they got a 74 market share. So that was it. That happened. Super Bowl at Pittsburgh's fourth Super Bowl in the Chuck Knoll, Terry Bradshaw era. Terry Bradshaw, love him or hate him, 4-0 in Super Bowls.
I wouldn't mind, Bob, 4 o'clock kickoff, you know, for Super Bowl Sunday.
They could play it at 12 midnight as long as we're off the next day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Unfortunately, Ravens won't be in this one, but we'll come back, take your phone calls. We're going to break down the free agent list, unrestricted style for the Ravens. Fun house trip with Nolan. News from the Nest coming up at the top of the hour. Hear more from the Ravens after their defeat to the Bills.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Good evening, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday, cranking it up the 12th. Oh, it's Eddie Money, man. He's one of them dudes. He starts singing, with all due respect to Big L over there. Eddie Money starts singing, you know it's Eddie Money. You know what I mean? And, you know, no longer with us. Eddie Money's bad. Used to be a police officer.
Eddie Money did? Where'd he grow up, Bob? San Francisco?
It's either there or New York, I'm thinking. He was a police officer.
Just because I know.
Then he got into the, you know, the rock and roll lifestyle, you know what I'm saying?
When we played Cowboys in the NFC championship game, they had him in the end zone before the game.
Yeah, he's from New York.
He was playing all his songs and stuff. He was great.
Yeah, Eddie Money, born in New York City, and you know, he got his musical start out in San Francisco, out in Berkeley. So, Eddie Money, wishing him the best, whatever dimension he is right now. Let's get out to the phones because people are running hot. Bob Haney, Vince Rado, Nolan McGraw, get to this Ravens free agent list as we get the news from the Nest. I know Nolan's got some things to say because he's never short on opinions. I mean, Anthony Santander, that news actually started breaking when we were here yesterday, and now it's official, and the Orioles open their season, you guessed it, against Toronto at Rogers Center. But let's go to Ed and Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. What's up?
Bob, Benny, good day to you both.
Yep.
Always mindful of your status. Don't lose sight of that. Ravens appreciation call. Gratitude extended to Mr. Vashadi, Mr. DaCosta, Coach Harbaugh, and all staff associates for another winning season. The entire Raven organization is NFL top-notch, first-class throughout. The Ravens on-field football product roster is matchup capable every season, worthy of the highest aspirations to eventually reach the pinnacle of Super Bowl participant. All Raven players who suited up and stepped on the playing fields gave 100% exemplary effort every contest. Ravens football is a shining light representing the city of Baltimore and state of Maryland. Just being around the sport as a player and coach, always enjoyed the complexity challenges football offers to attempt coordinating 22 moving bodies all doing different jobs each and every play. Did learn many years ago, one play never wins or loses a game. There's a whole myriad of occurrences throughout a football game that decides final outcomes. Woulda, shoulda, couldas have no meaning. Last thing today, sometimes a team needs a player, and sometimes a player needs a team. Brotherhood bond of common cause struggles to achieve success or not, but you do it together. No one man is ever to be praised alone nor blamed alone. However, always humble in victory, gracious in defeat, no matter how difficult. That's it, gentlemen. I thank you for your courtesy always.
Hold on, Ed, real quick. I know you're a big proponent of Tony Tater staying with the Orioles. He's gone. How are you feeling today?
Well, it tells me that the Orioles viewed him as a two-tool player, Bob. And five tools being the ultimate baseball player. We have one, Gunnar Henderson, hit, catch, throw, run, hit for power. They only saw Santander as hit for power and hit for average. So I don't judge him as a two-tool player, but they did.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call as always. Yeah, Anthony Santander going off to the Blue Jays. And as we said, we'll talk to Rich Dubroff about that later in the show. Let's get back to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Bob, Eddie, Vinny Serrato. It's Turning Up Tuesday. Nolan McGraw is always ready to rock over there. Dante in White Marsh. Dante, what's happening? Thanks for holding.
Hey, guys, man. Thank you for accepting my call. That was a real nice analogy I'm assuming he's a former coach or whatever. Shedded some light on a lot of things that people kind of don't think about during the actual game of football. And you would only know if you played the game. But the Ravens, man, I will say this. Mark Andrews, to me, watching this team grow, him and Lamar and everything, he loves the game probably more than a lot of people on the face of this earth, right? So when he does what he does, I can tell that he does it with his heart. So when that mistake happened, he fumbled the ball, that was the beginning of his downfall right there, because he got a little too much in his feelings, like a little kid sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But then when they make that real big play, they're very excited. So for everybody that's bashing Andrews, man, come on, man, let's think about where this guy got us and where we're going. And Lamar, I just think Lamar just needs to settle down a little bit, because he plays great in the offseason. But when it's time to show up, for some apparent reason, he gets a little antsy. He knows what to do. They both know what to do. That's why I think that they're eating themselves up. But anyway, man, I love the guys' show. You guys have a wonderful day. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Dante, saying some kind things about Mark Andrews. Again, we said it yesterday. No one feels worse than he does.
Yes.
As pissed as you might be, as upset as you might be because you lost money or the Ravens fell short and everything that goes along with the emotions, he feels worse than every single one of you and everyone in that locker room.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Bob, to everybody's point, I mean, I've seen him at practice a bunch of times over the years that he's been there. And what everybody says about him is true. He works. Nobody works harder than him at practice. He works his ass off.
He worked to get himself back in the lineup at the end of last year, when he probably shouldn't have played, but he didn't want to miss that game.
Yeah, and I mean, he sprints everything. He goes full speed, everything, all those things, you know, and all those things are great, but he did have a bad game.
Yeah.
And he's got to own that, and I wish he would have owned it.
That's what we're saying, and yeah. I agree with you 100%. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Another call, you want to wait. Quick draw, you make the call. He says yes. We're going to Cherry Hill. It's Mike. Mike, thanks for holding. How you feeling? Yo, Mike. No, Mike. If you want to get in, you can. We'll come back, talk to Nolan, and then we'll get to this free agent list coming up top of the hour. News from the Nest, style, buy or sell. Where's the Turn It Up Tuesday money? As the market's back and ready to rock and roll. Hey, we have a new president. I still pay $3.40 for gas today. I mean,
he said it's going down.
I guess eggs will be free by the end of the week, I'm assuming. But anyway, Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, talk college football and hoops with him. Kevin Willard says, yeah, I pay attention to that Ken Palm stuff and then that rankings. Where does Jerry have Maryland right now?
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
News for the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from the Ravens. Those who spoke with the media yesterday, cleaning out the lockers. Season comes to an end tomorrow. Don't forget, 11 o'clock, John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta. Going to meet with the masses, and Vinny's heading out there, and we'll be getting some intel from him. How forthcoming, open do you think they will be? Still, the sting of the loss is not going to go away anytime soon.
No, not at all. Yeah, I'm sure, like, Bisciotti's probably still sick over it. You know, and Harb's too. The thing with Eric is, his season starts now, because he's got a, you know, I mean, his scouts have been out on the road and they probably had some initial meetings already about the draft, and they got the Senior Bowl next week or so. They'll be heading down to the Senior Bowl, getting ready, doing interviews and all those kind of things. And I would imagine that Harbs will be doing most of the talking tomorrow.
So we'll get into that tomorrow, and we'll talk more Ravens as the week progresses. Got buy or sell coming up at 12:15, turning up the money, hopefully. Who were we jamming to, by the way, on Turn It Up Tuesday?
Yeah, it was Boz Scaggs. A little change of pace there.
Big time change of pace. But I only know the Lido Shuffle, so, you know, I know who he is, and I know his buddy was Steve Miller way back when, but I mean, I'm not well versed on
that. That was the 80s. I remember.
That was the 70s.
70s?
Boz Scaggs catalog. Hey, Nolan, and we're going to get you in full effect here. Dodgers signed Kirby Yates, relief pitcher.
I saw. I'm still waiting on my offer.
No, I told you. I think they're going to sign Ronnie Stanley for like three years coming up here sooner or later. But Bob Nightingale, our buddy from USA Today, reporting this. Michael Kopech's probably going to miss the first month. So it looks like Yates and Tanner Scott will fight it out for the closer's role here.
Right, and I mean, a lot of people up in arms about, you know, saying the Dodgers are swallowing up all these free agents. I mean, other teams had a chance to bid on these guys, especially a guy like Kirby Yates. It's not like he's a premier elite level player that only the Dodgers could afford.
He had a really good year last year for Texas.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, same with Tanner Scott. Great player, great year, but it's not like the Dodgers were the only suitor. There's other teams that could have paid him.
The Orioles were one of them.
If you buy that, I don't know how serious it is.
But let's not forget, because people have short memories. When the Orioles traded him to the Marlins 3 years ago, whatever it was, I don't remember too many people complaining about it. I think I was one of them. But sooner or later, he was hitting arbitration. You had to pay him. And the Orioles were still kind of their infancy of the Cole Sulcer came over in the trade. Now, all of a sudden, he's Sandy Koufax. And the Orioles are a-holes for not giving him $72 million?
No.
Come on, he could throw a strike 4 years ago. Hey, God bless him for what he's become. And yes, I would have been cool with him big time coming back, but let's go, man.
Bob, would they be a team because they're signing all these guys because guys are hurt or whatever? I mean, at the trade deadline, what if everybody's healthy? They can't keep them all.
Well, they got rid of Gavin Lux because they signed the Japanese second baseman whose name escapes me, and I apologize for that. But
Kim, I believe.
Yeah, they were like the team that would win 105, 108 games every year and lose.
Yeah.
But they won two World Series rings since 2000, including last year. So they've kind of exercised them demons. It goes back to the Ravens. I mean, you can go 16-1. Lamar could win MVP from now until the end of his playing career. You don't start adding championships, you're always going to have that little, and it's not fair because it's not all on him, as we know. But Dodgers got rid of that stigma. Now they're just, hey, well, let's win them all. I mean, Magic Johnson's running around with his Commanders gear at one stadium and the Dodgers at the other, et cetera, et cetera. God bless him. But, yeah, now the Ravens got to get rid of the regular season success and turn it into postseason success.
Right, and one more on the Dodgers. Yes. I mean, you know, last year won the World Series. They were great. Their lineup featuring multiple previous MVP winners. But pitching-wise was a huge issue, just having stability. I think they kind of learned their lesson, saying, hey, we got the money to spend here. We should never be caught in a situation like we were last year, where I think only one or two pitchers on their staff actually surpassed 100 innings.
Yeah, they had a ton of injuries.
That's almost unheard of for any team, even a bottom feeder, let alone a team that won the World Series.
And two guys who were key to their success in the second half of the season are gone. Mm-hmm. Bueller signed with Boston, and Jack Flaherty's out there waiting for a job opportunity.
And I think,
we'll circle back to him on the cheap. What do you think? Looks like he's going to have to settle for a short-term deal. Tater's got his five, but Jack Flaherty got that kind of leverage right now?
I think there's a reason he's still available.
Okay.
I mean, and pitchers, you know, come at a premium. I mean, everyone understands that, you know, every team's looking for starting pitching. So I think it's a little telling that a guy like that, because of course the aging guys like a Scherzer are still available.
Yeah, great.
He's in position to wait.
Kershaw's still looking for work.
Right, same type of thing. Well, he probably wants the Dodgers to bring him back for one more year. But, you know, the aging guys, I get, they're comfortable waiting. But a younger guy like Jack Flaherty, I think he was probably chomping at the bit to sign and maybe a little shocked that there wasn't as big of a market.
We'll see how things unfold for sure. We have time for a funhouse trip or no?
We do.
Let's go.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Elephant all the way. Here comes the
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at SmileDesignDoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start with Chris, who's a little more optimistic than most of the fans we've heard from, says, I know part of being a fan is having that emotional interest in the outcome of games, but don't really understand this post-loss irrational thinking. Chris here admits that he was a fire Harbaugh drumbeater early in the season, but felt like he really cut down on some of his in-game coaching mistakes. Goes on to say, sometimes you're just not the team. You're just not the best team. Andrews hadn't lost a fumble in 6 years. Things happen. Lamar will still bring home a Super Bowl before his career is done.
Well, I hope. You know, I mean, I hope. And, you know, I think Bob said it earlier. I mean, I said the same. Peyton Manning was 3-5 in his first 8 playoff games, and he finally got over the hump. So, and I think, what did Manning do to get over the hump? Didn't they have home games?
They beat the Ravens in Baltimore that year. They won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And then they played one, and it was the rain game in Miami against the Bears. You know what he did? He played against Rex Grossman in a Super Bowl. And they finally got, they exercised the New England demon. Remember in the AFC Championship game after San Diego, or yeah, they were San Diego choked. Yeah, boy, there's the good old days of that regime blowing games in the postseason.
Well, here's a different one from Glenn in Hamden. Haven't heard this one since the game ended. Says, no need to overcomplicate things for this Ravens loss. The ball was wet. That's his reasoning for the drops. Every play that caused the Ravens to lose, the drops, the fumbles, the ball's dryness, wetness, goes on to say here, yes, the Bills proved that they have better gloves for catching and securing when it's wet outside. The Ravens won in every other metric. Those saying it's not an excuse, it is an excuse. Stop trying to blame a player or coach. Ravens outplayed the other team. He's blaming the balls. He's blaming the weather.
Well, excuses are like assholes. Everybody's got one. You know, no. It's wet for both sides, and it was just execution. Buffalo executed with no mistakes. And Bob said it 9 million times, plus 24. They were plus 24. They get turnovers and they don't turn it over. And what did they do in this game? They followed their path, what they've been doing all year. They got turnovers and didn't turn it over.
Got Adam running the football in the first half, too. Buffalo did.
Yep.
And it wasn't even Cook. It was Davis and Ty Johnson were getting the chunk plays.
I would almost
maybe they use the dry side of the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would almost say the exact opposite of what that texter said. We built up the weather all week leading up to the game, and I felt like it really had no bearing on the outcome. Am I crazy for that?
Yeah, you know, no, you can't say the weather caused Andrews because he caught some and he dropped some. He
caught one on that drive.
Yeah.
But there wasn't like, oh, they missed a field goal because the wind pushed it or something like
special
that.
Special teams was, both kickers didn't miss a kick. And we don't know about our punter because he never got the punt.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest. We're going to hear from the Ravens. Going to look at the unrestricted free agents. Who stays? Who goes? Who's affordable? Who's integral to what they need to do to get over that playoff hump? Buy or sell 12:15. Where's the Turn It Up Tuesday money? And then Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Talk about last night's national championship game won by Ohio State. Also talks with college hoops as well. We're in the second half, believe it or not. Second half of the NCAA men's basketball season. Less than 2 months from now, Nolan, March Madness is here.